بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآله محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم ومبغضيهم أجمعين. قال الباقر عليه السلام: إن فاطمة هي ليلة القدر، من عرف فاطمة فقد أدرك ليلة القدر.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
And 3 is the best number for salawat, isn't it?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to be, I would say, some of the chosen ones, inshallah, to attend these majalis of Fatimiyah, to commemorate the shahadat of our mother, Fatima al-Zahra, sallallahu alayha.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Because when it comes to the masail of Ahlul Bayt, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, alhamdulillah, you have to be inhuman, non-human, excuse me, to not commemorate the shahadat of Abu Abdullah Husayn. Because when it comes to our baby Fatima al-Zahra, sallallahu alayha, not everyone might have that insight. The same way Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, he says when they ask him, whose ziyarat is better, ziyarat of your father Imam al-Rida alayhi salam, or of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn? Husayn salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala.
I caught it. Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, he cries and he says, the zawar of my grandfather Abu Abdullah are many, but the zawar of my father Imam al-Rida alayhi salam are very few. There has to be insight sometimes. Of course, alhamdulillah, today it's different. And the Zawar of Imam al-Rida also are very high in number. Same thing with Fatima al-Zahra. Especially since Fatima al-Zahra, the granddaughter of our Rasul, of our Prophet, was one of the highest figures of her time, and yet there's a lot of controversy surrounding her death. Of course, when it comes to the Shia school of thought, we all believe in the same thing, but others don't believe the same. But when it comes to Abu Abdullah, even those who are not from the Shia school of thought, it's interesting, even those who are enemies to an extent of the Shia school of thought, they also, I've seen clips of it, they sort of recite masalib of Abu Abdullah. They recite, this is the history, and this is history. Of course, they say that it wasn't the Khalifa of the time's fault, Yazid. But nonetheless, they all accept it. But when it comes to Fatima al-Zahra, the importance is up there. Yet it takes some insight sometimes to not neglect her majalis or her memory. Recite salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So in this hadith that I mentioned, Inna Fatimata hiya laylatul qadr, shows the significance of this lady. The Imam says, and this isn't the only hadith we have here, brothers and sisters, we have many more. The Imam says that Fatima al-Zahra is laylatul qadr. She is laylatul qadr. Okay? She is laylatul qadr. Whoever knows her has reached laylatul qadr. Now this is another story about how this link is and explaining it, but I don't want to get into that. This is just an introduction. Our topic is something else. Also, قال الكاظم عليه الصلاة والسلام, our seventh imam, he says, إِنَّ فَاطِمَةَ صِدِّيقَةٌ شَهِيدَةٌ. This is one of the best hadiths and most clear hadith that she was martyred. Okay, because unfortunately, brothers and sisters, this one main argument that the Shia school of thought has, Fatima al-Zahra's death, they've manipulated it, they changed history. Okay, they covered it up. But and sometimes the Shia starts doubting, but no. Our imams have told us that Siddiqatun Shahida, she's a shaheed. We thank Allah for giving us this tawfiq and this insight, inshallah, to remember her. The sign of the salat. As you've probably seen in the flyers, the topic, inshallah, throughout these nights, as al-imama fil Quran, the concept of imamat in the Quran. Now, this is something that's thrown around a lot, and a lot of people speak about imama in the Quran. We're going to get to that. But why? That's the question. Why have we chosen this topic for these nights? Because, of course, Fatimah al-Zahra awwalu shahidatin fi sabil al-wilaya, fi sabil al-imama. She's the first to give her life for imama. What was this imama? What's the scope of this imama? How does it work? Who's it given to? Is there Quranic proof for it? There's different approaches to this concept, this topic. Sometimes you can go to the Quran and see what the Quran has to say about imama. Sometimes you go to the ahadith. Sometimes you go to theology, kalam. Okay, although they say kalam isn't the perfect equivalent for theology, theology isn't the perfect equivalent for kalam. For example, you can go to Quran and try to find verses about this concept. You can go to the hadith and try to find out what they say about this concept. Sometimes, no, you say, all right, we're just going to go to the mind. See what the intellect says about imamah. Is it necessary for there to be imamah after nubuwwah or not? Okay, kalam takes up that task. What we're going to be doing, inshallah, and it's going to be a little different, and I was telling the brothers, some of them, this topic, I had prepared it a while back, and I was saving it up for a good majlis. And I had heard a lot of good stuff about you brothers and sisters, the AIM brothers and sisters. There's a lot to say about AIM. I have some ideas and thoughts about it, and I feel that it's different. Inshallah, and that's how it is. It doesn't revolve around a certain ethnicity, and so on and so forth. I really like the idea, the way it works. And the brothers were really striving for this cause, inshallah, may Allah reward them and give them barakah in their efforts, inshallah, say salawat for them. This imam at this scope, we're going to be going to Quran, inshallah. Little explanation here. When you say verses of imamah, yes, we've heard the verses and all that. But this verse was about Imam Ali, this verse was about Imam Ali. There's two types of verses when it comes to imamah. The first are those verses that we've heard. Okay? The verses that we've heard that are about Imam Ali alayhi salam, that they identify only with Imam Ali alayhi salam. Okay? Without mentioning his name, of course. Okay? And then we have some more verses that are a little bit more subtle. It takes a little bit of effort to draw some things out of them, but when you do draw things out of them, subhanAllah. And that's not my job or other normal talabah's job. These are the jobs of the Allama Tabatabais, the Ayatollah Jawadi Amulis, so on and so forth. They do the digging. They go around and find different puzzle pieces in the Quran, put them together, show us an image. Okay? That's how it works. I'm always saying this everywhere I go. The importance of our ulama. And nowadays, unfortunately, those who are not with us, they have learned exactly what to do. Undermine their ulama. Separate them from their ulama. You're good to go. Imam Hussein, we have Imam Hussein because of ulama. They're the ones who brought it down to us.
Of course, the ulama, they don't say anything out of their own desire or add or subtract anything from their religion. But the trusted ulama out there who have spent their lives deriving from the sources, they are just a channel to the a'imma. So we're going to go to the door of Allama Tabatabai. We're going to knock his door about one of these verses. One verse, inshallah, over the course of these 5 nights, see how much comes out of it. Of course, by the barakah and through this great scholar. So we're going to talk about what the scope is in that general sense. Okay? See what the Quran has to say about that. Okay? So we're not going to cover the verses, the specific verses that are about Imam Ali, which are not few in number. There's a lot of them. Okay, we're not going to get to those. Those are too easy. I mean, that's enough for someone to become accept the truth, an unbiased person to accept the truth. But we are already, inshallah, on the straight path. The verses we're going to cover, inshallah ta'ala, are going to give us more insight about what Imamat is all about, the scope. And this is going to be Quran, brothers. This is just step by step, inshallah, recite salawat. Brothers and sisters, as to why we've chosen imamat, I said Sister Lady Fatima gave her life in this way. The importance of imamat here. When it comes to the Islamic teachings, you've heard probably the threefold categorization that's out there. Islamic teachings are either aqaid, ahkam, or akhlaq. That's the normal categorization. Some people may beg to differ about that, but it's okay. It's not that important right now how many categories we have. That's the general categorization that's out there. Aqaid, ahkam, akhlaq. And when we say aqaid, which is belief and doctrine, and then we have ahkam, which is Islamic law, and then ethics and morality, which is akhlaq, there's a logical sequence between these three. Without aqaid, if I don't believe in the Qur'an, I'm not going to go towards Islamic law. I'm not going to carry it out. If I am not going by Islamic law, where is akhlaq going to get me? I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, I believe in the Prophet. I believe in the book. I believe in all those doctrines. But I just don't go by them. And unfortunately, nowadays, you see people talking about that. You see people saying that, yeah, what counts is what's on the inside. It's the thought that counts. It's the intention that counts. I'm a good person. I have developed a relationship with my Lord that is beyond these formalities that you may have. Salat. I'm always remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I always say this. It's all about being good and nice. And I always say this, butterflies and bunnies. But that's not the case. That's part of it, of course. Some people neglect that part of deen. That part of deen is very important. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ The Qur'an says, you and your demeanor is azim. It's way up there, O Prophet. Okay? That's part of deen. But at the same time, there's another part too. There's a logical sequence between aqa'id, ahkam, and akhlaq. If you don't get the aqa'id down properly, you're going to mess up eventually. Imamat falls in aqa'id. But Mawlana, why have you chosen, out of all these different aqaid, imama? Because imama is what sets us apart from the rest. What makes us Shia of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Okay? Some even say that imama is one of the usulul madhab, not usulul deen, meaning that what makes you a Shia. The father of the madhab of Shia is imama. Of course, inshallah, we'll cover that. No, it's part of the usuluddin, because it's nothing other than and a continuation of nubuwwah. And nubuwwah is one of the usuluddin. We'll get to all of that, so just wait, inshallah. Recite salawat. Inshallah, today is more of an introduction, inshallah. We'll get to the bulk of it tomorrow. But there's lots of points that I want to cover, okay, as introductory points. Brothers and sisters, I said this last night somewhere else too, some of you were there. Bunkers. Bunkers. What does he mean by bunkers? We're talking about aqeedah, right? The beliefs, right? You have to, when it comes to aqeedah, you have to build and develop intellectual bunkers. No matter how little they are in number, 3, 4, 2. Make sure you have those bunkers. What do I mean? Things that are for sure, that you can fall back on if you fail in understanding certain details of the deen, you have those bunkers to fall back on. What do I mean? I gave this example before too. Imam al-Hasan alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, he didn't fight Muawiyah. There's people out there who might be a little upset about that. Imam al-Hussein stood up. Imam al-Hussein gave his life, gave all he had. Imam al-Hassan didn't stand up. Is that how it works? Did not the Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did he not say al-Hassan wal-Hussein imamani qa'uda qama al-qa'uda? They are imams, Hassan and Hussein. If they stand or sit, whether they stand or sit, they are imams. Okay? Now, Mr. X over here. He's asking me, why didn't Imam Hassan stand the way Imam Hussein stood? And when he asks it, like when he asks me, he asks with that tone that you're not supposed to have. Yeah, Imam Hassan didn't stand up. Imam Hussein did. Imam Hussein is the way to go. That's what his tone is saying. Sometimes, yeah, someone asks you, why didn't Imam Hassan stand? Why did he not rise? You explain to him the details of what happened. But when someone asks in this tone, that means imamate has not been resolved for him yet. He hasn't understood it the way he's supposed to. He doesn't have that bunker to fall back on. That he knows that an imam is someone to follow 100% no matter what he does. That's why the Prophet says, قَامَ أَمْ قَعُدَى. They sit, they stand, whatever they do, you follow them. They are imaman, two imams. But this person hasn't built that bunker. He goes into territory that hasn't been discovered yet by him. He gets stuck. He wants to fall back on something, there's nothing to fall back on. He's done. The swamp swallows him up. Aqaid, brothers and sisters, you have to make sure you have solid aqaid. Even if it's two or three things. I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He says is right. Whatever the Qur'an says is right. So if I see something in the Qur'an that doesn't make sense to me, I have to go and research more. I have to go and ask more. But some people don't do that. They get stuck. So I can explain to this person, yes, Imam Hassan, he had problems with his army, etc., etc. Later on, he'll say, why was Imam Sajjad silent? Why was Imam Al-Hadi silent? How come? And that's how some of the Zaydis, that's how they believe that any one of the Sadat Al-Husayni, they're the ones who, the one who draws a sword, he's an imam. And they end up not having Imam al-Baqir, Imam al-Sadiq. They don't believe in any of them as imams. Why? You have to solve that, brothers. Solidify that, inshallah. Okay? What we have to do is go back, explain to Mr. X over here, that you haven't really understood imamate yet. That's why you have such a tone. Okay? Make sure he gets that down. Then, he can go wherever he wants to live. I can rest assured that he's going to have questions maybe in the future, but if he can't solve them, he has something to fall back on. That's what we mean by bunkers. And that's why we're going to be talking about imamate a little bit, according to the Qur'an, inshallah. Imamate. First, let's define it. Not a definition, but give you somewhat of an idea of what the Ahlul Bayt school of thought says before we get into talking about how this works, how the proofs are, and what the other schools of thought, what they believe when it comes to imamah. Okay, recite salam. Easier if there's something to put your cup in over here. So recite another salawat. The Shia school of thought, what do they say? I've listed in here some things that they say, that we believe in. They say that in every era, there must be an imam. Every era. Oh my God, Molana. I thought that imama only is after the Holy Prophet. No. It's more than that. In the Quran, we'll get to it. Theologically, you cannot have a time when you don't have an imam. And that's why in our ziyarat, and the du'as, and all those the things that the imams have taught us about the imma and wilaya and imama, in those du'as you see that if it wasn't for an imam being on the earth, لَسَاخَتِ الْأَرْضُ بِأَهْلِهَا, the world would swallow its inhabitants. In other words, it would self-destruct. That's one. Two, they hold the same authority as the Prophet. I'm going to say, don't take me out of context here, those who are watching later. The same authority, not that they're prophets. No. But the hadith say that the imam, the Prophet tells Muhammad that you're exactly like me, except that you're not a prophet. They hold the same authority. Continuation of prophethood, I said that. And since it's a continuation of prophethood, and Allah says regarding say salawat. I hope this doesn't fall. Since it's a continuation of prophethood, the Quran says, "Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalatah." Allah knows better where to put His risala and nubuwa, who to make prophet. Imamat is a continuation of nubuwa, so Allah knows better where to put His imamah. These are some things that the Shia school of thought holds. These are from the books, brothers and sisters. I'm not saying it just because I think. No. But now when it comes to the other schools of thought, and I'm going to summarize both of these, inshallah, in two words. But one, imamat means you succeed the Prophet politically, meaning that you protect Islam, you preserve Islam. Okay, you keep it from falling in the hands of the enemies of Islam. Okay? That's all. Okay? No more than that. Same authority as Prophet? No way. Everyone must follow this imam. And it makes sense. Because he's preserving the deen. So you have to follow him. You can't undermine the Islamic nation and state. Okay? Surah Nisa, verse 59. أطيع الله وأطيع الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. That's the verse that they usually say, that they usually refer to. You have to follow Allah, atiyah Allah, atiyah al-Rasul, obey the Rasul, and obey the who? Those vested with authority amongst you. Question. Is Yazid vested with authority? Is he ruler or not? Yes, he is. Okay then. The verse means is saying that you have to follow him because he has authority. Those vested with authority. Those who have authority. Now this example of Yazid that I gave, of course all of them might not believe that, but some of them do. And I've seen them, they say it. They say that yes, bay'atu Yazid kanat bay'atan shar'iyatan. It was a legitimate bay'ah. Okay? Imam al-Hussein had to do bay'ah. He was wrong in what he did. Okay, so since everyone must follow and all that, and it's all about only preserving deen, infallibility is no longer a condition. That's one. Some say even adala, piety, being just, it's not a condition. Okay, I've seen the clips, that's why I'm saying this. Divine knowledge, who says we want to preserve deen? Deen doesn't need, preservation of deen doesn't need divine knowledge. When the bad guys come, you fight them off. When there's internal conflict, you suppress it or whatever. That's what it's all about. So infallibility, of course, isn't going to be a condition. And adala shouldn't be a condition either, as long as what they're doing is to preserve the deen. You don't even have to be the best of the ummah. You don't have to be the best. Yes, there might have been better people than those who were leaders, but that's not a condition either. We want to preserve deen. Is the deen being preserved or not? Yes, actually, the Islamic state and nation expanded after the Prophet more than it was during the Prophet's time. Right? And Ibn Abi al-Hadith, who is a Sunni Mu'tazilite, but some say no, he was Shia, but that's not the case. According to our ulama, he's a Sunni from the Sunni school of thought. Of course, the Mu'tazila, which are a moderate group. He has a nice line. He says, Alhamdulillah, in the beginning of his tafsir of Nahjul Balagha, he says, Alhamdulillah, alladhi قدم المفضول على الفاضل. All praises due to Allah who gave preference to the one with less merits over the one who had more merits. You guys know who he's talking about. So that's something that also, but see, theologically, it doesn't have a problem for them. Okay, there's no problem in that. Okay, now we don't want to talk about which one is right, which one is wrong. No, I'm just reporting, just giving you a report here about how these two look at things. So, to summarize it all in two words, Shia school of thought says imamah is a divine station and rank. Other schools of thought, they say no, it's not a divine rank and station. That's the main difference between us and others. Okay, recite us Allah. Okay, so where were we? Alright. So this is what your imamate is all about, yeah? Yeah. What's your proof? Alright, very nice. That's awesome. You have such a cool concept, but please explain to us the proof. Well, the proofs, as I said, there's much proof out there. But it's an ongoing debate. It's an ongoing debate. There's many specific verses, as I said. But what we're here for is to talk a little bit more about what this imam is about, some things that we don't know, according to the Qur'an. So you'll find some people saying, why is there even a need for imamah? Okay? The Prophet came, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي, Allah says in the Qur'an. Today, I have completed your religion, and I'm satisfied with this Islam as your deen. Okay, and it's interesting how this verse has been squeezed into verses that have nothing to do with it. Because I wonder what would have happened if these verses were somewhere else. Why aren't the names of your imams, if it's so important, why aren't the names of the imams in the Qur'an? All of this debate going on, Allah didn't know that was going to happen. Very easily, He would have just rid us all of this trouble and just said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, for example, عَلِيٌّ وَلِيُّهُ. Right? Wouldn't that have solved everything? This happened to me once. There was a cat in our building. And I was like, what a cute, innocent, harmless little cat. Let me go closer to it. It went up and it was cornered. I cornered it. All of a sudden, that cute little cat transformed into this hideous monster and pounced at me. Alright? It made this weird sound like a snake and attacked me. Alhamdulillah, I don't know how I got to the first floor. But I got to the first floor before it could get to me. When you corner something like this, it'll try to run away. It'll try to bring excuses. It'll try to justify. But when it sees that it's cornered and it has no choice, it's like, well, now that I'm going down, might as well take you down with me. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put names in the Qur'an, has He not Himself said, إِنَّا لَهُ إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرِ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We protect this Qur'an. Is he not supposed to make sure that he doesn't provoke anybody? Because he's not going to miraculously preserve this Qur'an. It has to be through the means that he's created himself, this world of cause and effect. Okay? You can't say, no, Allah, what he has to do is, when they come to try to mess up the Qur'an, send down a thunderbolt. It's not that hard. Allah is all-powerful. I learned in school, in madrasa. If that was the case, they wouldn't have leveled the grave of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam during the Khalifa, the Khulafa al-Abbasid, their time. You know how many times they leveled Imam al-Husayn's grave? How many times they set it on fire, the haram? How many times they looted the haram? They're not giving up. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He didn't send down thunderbolts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He preserves with the normal means. He's careful not to corner anybody. That's one general answer. Another general answer. My question is, did the Prophet not mention names? Yes, he did. Did that benefit or not, in the sense that now there's no trouble going on in the world? Did it benefit or not? So, conclusion, there is no direct link between names being mentioned and no trouble happening in the future. But what did Allah do? Allah had a better method. He describes in the Qur'an, gives criteria in the Qur'an. Sometimes He'll give you a verse that only identifies with one person. SubhanAllah. One verse I'll recite. Surah Ma'idah, verse 55. You've all heard it. You've all heard it, but it only identifies with one person. And it's so clear. Okay? Instead of Allah saying, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ, for example, this Imam, he says, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Your wali is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So wali here cannot mean friend, guys. So because Allah is not our just friend when He says wali. He's our guardian. He has authority over us. So Allah, alright. Wa rasulu, this prophet. Wa ladina amanu, and those who believe, they also have authority over you. Okay, that doesn't prove what you're talking about. There's a lot of believers. Alladina amanu. I'm alladina amanu. So that means I have authority too. No, man, you didn't read the rest of the verse, for God's sake. Alladina amanu alladina yuqimuna as-salat wa yu'tuna az-zakat wa hum raki'un. If I got the wording correctly. Those who believe, who are those who, in ruku', they pay the zakat, they give the sadaqah. Everyone knows who this is about. Okay, so alright, we're not going to mention any names here. We're not going to mention names. But there's one guy, there's one, astaghfirullah, not one, one individual that this verse identifies with. Not more than one. And the beginning of the verse is saying, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. So this wilaya is a little different than just being friends. Okay, so Allah has done that. Allah has done that as well. Okay, all He needed to do was put a name there. He says, no, I'm not going to corner anybody. This Qur'an is to go on forever. Yeah, let them interpret it any way they want. But those who are after the truth, inshallah, they'll find the truth. Recite salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad
wa ajil
Muhammad.
Recite salawat.
Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil
Muhammad. There's three more salawats, he says. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Muhammad
wa ali Muhammad.
So that was this little introduction, inshallah. Now, the notes that there are for this whole thing, this whole concept, and inshallah, this subject,
are way more than 4 nights worth of time. But inshallah, I'll try my best to wrap it up in the following 4 nights. I ask Allah to give us that tawfiq and read that tawfiq inshallah to get to those main points. Assalamu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. These nights, brothers and sisters, Fatima al-Zahra, she's in her deathbed. These are the last few nights that this world will have Fatima al-Zahra standing on. These are the last nights that Hassan, Hussein, Zainab, Kulthum have a mother. The hardship started there. Bibi Zainab, Ya Madaluna. She saw her mother pass away like that. She saw her father pass away. Imam al-Hassan passes away. She sees her brother Hussein, her last hope. This is the last night for Fatima. These are the last nights. Hassan, Hussein, O children of Fatima, see her for the last times. It's going to be over soon. Ibn Abi al-Hadid also has another line. He says about Imam Ali alayhi salam, wa amma hilmuhu yakad yakun mu'jiza. It's this close. It borders on being a miracle. What? Imam Ali's hilm, his forbearance, his patience. Why is that? Let's get to know Imam Ali more. You've heard this story. Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he was Khalifa, he heard about, the news came to him. This is in Nahj al-Balagha, he's reporting. He's recounting. He says, I've heard that the army of Muawiyah has gone to a village that was in his, the part of the nation that he was ruling. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, I've heard they've gone there, the armies, the soldiers have gone there to that village. The Muslim women and non-Muslim women have been frightened. Their jewelry stolen from them, their anklets torn off. And all they could do was call their Lord. The non-Muslims was call their Lord. Imam Ali alayhi salam. It's as if Imam Ali alayhi salam is reciting Masa'ib for us. He's saying, look, I've heard that women have been attacked. He doesn't say they've been beaten. They've been attacked in the sense that their jewelry has been taken from them. Then he says, if someone hears this and dies out of grief, his death is justified in my eyes. You should die upon hearing this. He's reciting Musab as if. But Ya Ali, if you're that soft-hearted, the Prophet calls him the last days when he's on his deathbed. Ya Ali, they say, he calls him and says, after me, your right will be taken from you. What are you going to do? For Islam, what are you going to do? Ya Rasulullah, I'll be patient. Ya Ali, in the kucha, in the alleys, in the streets, you'll say salam to people, they won't respond. They won't return your salam. What are you going to do? I'll be patient. Ya Ali, they will abuse and curse you on the minbar, slander you. It'll be part of the khutbas. What are you going to do? Ya Rasulullah, I will be patient. Ya Rasulullah, Imam Ali is soft-hearted. Don't come to this line. The Prophet says, Ya Ali, after me they will attack you. They will assault your wife Fatima. What are you going to do? He doesn't say, I'll fight back. He doesn't say anything. They say he falls and faints in front of Rasulullah. When he gets back up, comes to conscience, regains his conscience, he says, I'll be patient. They say in Medina, when they were pulling Ali with the ropes around his neck and his hands, there was a Jew standing. He said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. They said, you were with the Prophet for 10 years, why didn't you say Shahada then? Why didn't you become Muslim? He He says, I know Ali. I've seen Ali in Khaybar. I've heard of him in Khaybar. I've heard how he tore the door of Khaybar himself while other people, tens of people maybe couldn't lift that door. I know Ali. Ali is being patient for something or somebody. That Lord that Ali is being patient for, I believe in him now. He became Muslim, they say. I want to tell this Jew who became Muslim, if you were there when they were beating our mother, what would you have done? You would have become one of the purest Shia. When our mother falls on the ground, her chador and clothes become dusty. You would have become one of the best Shia. Alhamdulillah. These majalis are for the youth. These majalis are for the youth. The tears you shed, inshallah, guarantee what's to come in the future. Let me ask the youth a question. If you're at home one day and your mother comes home, and you see that her clothes are dusty, her clothes have been torn, what's going to happen? Won't you get goosebumps? Won't you be frightened to death? What has happened? Mother, what has happened? Have you fallen? And then what if she turns back to you and says, no, I was cornered by a bunch of non-nahrams. They beat me until I fell. Oh, children of Fatima, our mother was cornered after they kicked the door in. They beat her, they say she fell unconscious in front of the eyes of Ali. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ صلوات على محمد وآل محمد.